The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Now, there is a new book out by a man who is expert in all of the areas that it covers, because it details everything from recipes to nice areas around the country to which you should go to wild foraging. It is called The Homekeeper's Diary 2022, and it is by Francis Brennan. Morning, Francis.
Morning, Anton. Nice to be here.
You didn't strike me as the wild foraging type, Francis.
Oh, listen, I collected mushrooms up the back of my grandmother's house when I was about 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years of age.
It's a brave man who collects a wild mushroom.
Yeah, and I picked the gooseberries, which wasn't an easy job. I have a nice gooseberry fool recipe in the diary. I picked the gooseberries, which is prickly, I can tell you.
Indeed.
But she had lovely gooseberries because she had a very nice garden, my granny, back in Sligo, where she the contents of the sweep down of the cow yard, which was like manure, was pushed through a little stream type of thing in through the garden. And she had flowers 6 foot tall when everybody else's was only 4 foot.
One can only imagine that when the sun shone, the odour would have been challenging.
Oh, no, there was never an odour. The ground absorbed the odour.
Oh, did it? Oh, good.
Did you? Yeah.
It's funny to hear you say back in Sligo, because, of course, you are so synonymous with Kenmare, yeah, that we assume that you were brung up there.
Well, I was born in Dundrum. That was my home for 27 years. And then I moved to Kerry. And then I went to Cork for a year and then went back to Kerry. So I'm in Kerry 42 years.
And you made, of course, the mad decision to buy the park in Kenmare, and you've doubled down more recently. You and the brother have bought a new spot.
I seem to be taking great risks, as the fellow says. Yeah, we bought the Lansdowne Arms. It's the iconic town hotel in Kenmare. We bought it in December. Sight unseen. I was talking to somebody yesterday about that. Like, we didn't, because of COVID, you weren't allowed view. So we had to well, we'll gamble. But I'll give the people that had it before credit, because we walked into it on the 20th of December for the first time. And actually, you could have opened that night. The beds were all made. The soap was in the right place. The bar was glasses. There was no stock, but the bar was all set up. So like we were shocked that it was in such like opening shape. Now, we changed it completely, of course, and we didn't open until the 2nd of July. But
was the logic because you felt it would complement in a different bracket what the park does?
Exactly. Exactly. And it's right. Like when you drive out the front gate of the park, if you kept going, you bang into the wall at the Lansdowne, you know. So it's very close, and it's a kind of, we're not doing stars, but it's a complement to the park at a different price point.
I would imagine a tricky time to have two hotels on the go over the last 18 months.
Yeah, absolutely. It could have been, although the West Coast did very well, I have to say, business-wise. We opened the 2nd, early July. We've had a very good season, including, I think, we're running at 82% for September at the moment.
Despite the absence of Yanks and Europeans.
Yes. But the Irish market were not keen to travel, and they all kind of came west of the Shannon. So the West Coast did very well. Now, I know Dublin is struggling desperately, and I feel sorry for all the hotels in Dublin, because there is no... Although, mind you, I was around Dublin. I came up yesterday. I was around Dublin yesterday, and there was a lot of tourists in Dublin yesterday. Not many Yanks, Italians and Spanish, I think, all right? But not many Yanks. But they'll come back now. You know, and now that we're going to be able to go to... You know, going to America and coming back kind of creates a bit of a buzz.
And I assume helps with connectivity, because Aer Lingus then, which of course
absolutely
is the dominant player in the transatlantic.
It's offering, yeah, exactly, if there's a demand. Well, there must be a demand for it, so we'll be back to figure soon enough.
Tell us about The Homekeeper's Diary and why you decided to write it.
This is the second year one now. I had one out this time last year, yeah. Well, it's just that I had written 3 books, and I struggle with creativity in books. Yeah, there was a talk about doing a novel. I said, go away from me. I don't even want to go near you. All right. And then within a month or 2 months, Graham Norton came out with his first book, which was brilliant. I really enjoyed it.
And very critically acclaimed, and
yeah,
a good seller as well.
No. It was very well written. Yeah, very well. But anyway, I'm not going there. So then I said, we do a diary, because that's an easier thing, all right, to assemble. So we brought the diary out last year, sold out. Very good. It was very popular. And this year then. But then I threw in all sorts of things like recycling and recipes and dates to remember. And stories.
Well, this is the thing. It is probably the single most eclectic book of any nature, yeah, that I have read in recent years, because you go from seaweed to the beauty of Rathlin Island, yeah, to how to...
Changing a car tyre. Could you believe it?
How to store rice.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, people don't... Like, there's loads of things. And those sort of things, they just come up. A lot of them are seasonal, as I was mentioning earlier, the gooseberries, that kind of comes up in the autumn and things like that. So they would be driven by a seasonality as well around the week that you'd have open on the diary. And then I have all sorts of little comments on the weeks, like St. Bridget's Day and all these sort of things. So, like I said, it is eclectic. I never even thought about it being like that, but it is very much. There's a little bit for everyone. And it's a terrific gift, for particularly for daughters to mum for Christmas. They get used to it. You know, that's the thing about a diary. You get used to a diary. I write a diary every night of my life and have done since 1966.
Right? Do you?
But I have to get the right type of diary. And last year, this is really good, because I was in Hodges Fidges yesterday looking for a diary that didn't have what I wanted. And the girl said to me, I know, she says, you kind of like the space that you've... I said, it's exactly that. Last year, I was in New York, looked for the diary, no luck. I was in London, looked for the diary, no luck. Okay, went up to see my mum, who was alive at that time. We were doing alternate weekends for every fifth weekend we went. So I was up and I went into the local shop to get the paper for her. And here on the desk was a diary's not... exactly what I wanted, in the garage locally in Sligo. I was absolutely blown away.
What was it that you were looking for? What is the perfect Brennan diary?
I like when you open it, the two pages are the 7 days, okay, and it's not too big to fill in, because I don't want to be writing the whole missive. So, because when you write every night, you kind of think, sometimes, you know. So,
Is it thoughts and feelings, or is this just, here's what I did today
in
the headline?
There are no thoughts or feelings in my diary. You won't be able to analyse it like, you know, Ding Dong Doo, that was like whoever he was in 1938.
National Library won't be pouring over this to see what Francis's thoughts were.
I'm giving them to them. I might give them to them all right. But generally not so.
You look back at them?
I have to finish the story about the
carriage. Oh, sorry. I thought you'd got it.
No, I bought the diary. It was only £2.50. I couldn't, like, it was for nothing and perfect. So it's like, but when I came to November, it was paginated all wrong. They had 2 days of December in November and blah, blah, like, it was all wrong at the back. That's why there were a job lot. Give the garage got a job lot. But I was able to, it still worked, but it wasn't in sequence. I thought it was too good to be true till I got to November.
You said you have them going back to 1966.
66. The first year I started my diary was, I was in Kappa Hospital as a patient, and somebody gave me a diary for Christmas.
You reread them?
Listen, when I was writing my first book, which is more an autobiography, all right? I found them brilliant, because if I looked at 1972, the 5th of July, and saw what I did, I could remember other things and filled in. It was brilliant for that. Absolutely brilliant.
Does it seem to be a different person that you're reading about?
Yes. Yeah. You do mature and you change. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, absolutely. We were talking about that the other day too, about when I worked in the Victoria Hotel in Cork, which is now closed, so no problem. Okay. Like, that was the late 70s. And I remember saying to people, are you married? This is true.
For check-in.
Yeah. That there were like two people going to a double room. And did they, and a double bed. I actually queried with people, like, were you able to go up the stairs together? Are you, like, married?
Well, if the answer was no, was the answer you're getting twin beds?
They said, that was the intention. I never did have to go there, but that was the intention.
But the people would have the good grace to claim yes, whether the answer was no or not, I assume.
Well, she surely didn't tell me a lie, did she?
Isn't it amazing, though, culturally and societally, how Ireland has changed in the intervening years?
Unbelievable, yeah. You mean the High Court now?
I was going to say, it's not a question that's asked in the park very often when people check in anymore.
No. We just smile and follow me.
There is one thing that I have to ask you about all this, because when you look at the TV show, and even when you read The Homekeeper's Diary, there is a level of high standards that is required to run any hotel successfully. To run a five-star successfully, it can be extremely high standard. How do you manage to do that without taking the Gordon Ramsay, I'm going to fillet you approach to the people who work with you?
We're inclusive. I can lift a bag, and I have a great assistant at the moment, Carol. I rang the hotel and she answered. And I said, hi, Carol, how are things? Great, she says. She said, you're getting on grad? Yes, she says. The only thing is, Mr. Brennan, when I get out of bed in the morning, she says, I have to decide whether I'm a kitchen porter, a runner in the restaurant, on reception, or I am the duty manager and do the uniform accordingly. Wasn't that just brilliant?
Not a bad position to be in.
No.
And can you do, are you the type of owner manager who can do every job?
Yes. Yeah. No, sorry. A hotel manager knows a little bit about everything and not a lot about anything. That's what I've always.
But if we're stuck for breakfast, you can get on the line and churn out a full Irish.
I never had to do it now, to be honest. All right. Never in the park, I never had to. But I could go in there and do it if I had to. No problem.
Well, it has to be said, you've enough recipes to do it off the basis of in here. You've got box tea, you've got everything you could possibly want.
Mayo box tea as well, is synonymous with mayo. Yeah, that's true.
Francis, best of luck with the book. Undoubtedly, it will sell out. And if not, there's a good garage in Sligo that'll take the remainders off you as a job lot.
With no mistakes.
It is The Homekeeper's Diary 2022. And I assume all good bookshops now?
Yeah, coming out this week, yeah.
Francis, thank you very much. That is Francis.